Wise students in search of more distant volumes took care to leave chalk marks on the shelves as they roamed deeper into the fusty darkness, and told friends to come looking for them if they weren't back by supper. And because magic can only loosely be bound, the library books themselves were more than mere pulped wood and paper. Raw magic crackled from their spines, earthing itself harmlessly in the copper rails nailed to every shelf for that very purpose. Faint traceries of blue fire crawled across the bookcases, and there was a sound, a papery whispering, such as might come from a colony of roosting starlings. In the silence of the night, the books talked to one another. There was also the sound of someone snoring. The light from the shelves didn't so much illuminate as highlight the darkness, but by its violet flicker, a watcher might just have identified an ancient and battered desk right under the central dome. The snoring was coming from underneath it, where a piece of tattered blanket barely covered what looked like a heap of sandbags, but was in fact an adult male orangutan. It was the librarian. Not many people these days remarked upon the fact that he was an ape. The change had been brought about by a magical accident, always a possibility where so many powerful books are kept together, and he was considered to have got off lightly. After all, he was still basically the same shape, and he'd been allowed to keep his job, which he was rather good at, although allowed is not really the right word. It was the way he could roll his upper lip back to reveal more incredibly yellow teeth than any other mouth the University Council had ever seen before that somehow made sure the matter was never really raised. But now there was another sound, the alien sound of a door creaking open. Footsteps padded across the floor and disappeared among the clustering shelves. The books rustled indignantly, and some of the larger grimoires rattled their chains. The librarian slept on, lulled by the whispering of the rain. In the embrace of his gutter, half a mile away, Captain Vimes of the Night Watch opened his mouth and started to sing. Now a black-robed figure scurried through the midnight streets, ducking from doorway to doorway, and reached a grim and forbidding portal. No mere doorway got that grim without effort, one felt. It looked as though the architect had been called in and given specific instructions. "We want something eldritch in dark oak," he'd been told, "so put an unpleasant gargoyle thing over the archway, give it a slam like the football of a giant, and make it clear to everyone, in fact, that this isn't the kind of door that goes ding-dong when you press the bell." The figure rapped a complex code on the dark woodwork. A tiny barred hatch opened, and one suspicious eye peered out. "The significant owl hoots in the night," said the visitor, trying to wring the rainwater out of its robe. "Yet many great lords go sadly to the masterless men," intoned a voice on the other side of the grill.
"Hooray, hooray, for the spinster's sister's daughter," countered the dripping figure.
"To the axeman, all supplicants are the same height."
"Yet verily, the rose is within the thorn."
"The good mother makes bean soup for the errant boy," said the voice behind the door. There was a pause, broken only by the sound of the rain. Then the visitor said,
"What?"
"The good mother makes bean soup for the errant boy." There was another longer pause. Then the damp figure said,
"Are you sure the ill-built tower doesn't tremble mightily at a butterfly's passage?"
"Nope. Bean soup it is. I'm sorry."
The rain hissed down relentlessly in the embarrassed silence.
"What about the caged whale?" said the soaking visitor, trying to squeeze into what little shelter the dread portal offered.
"What about it?"
"It should know nothing of the mighty deeps, if you must know."
"Oh, the caged whale! You want the elucidated brethren of the Ebon Knight, three doors down."
"Who are you, then?"
"We're the illuminated and ancient brethren of E."
"I thought you met over in Treacle Street," said the damp man after a while.
"Yeah, well, you know how it is. The Fretwork Club have the room Tuesdays. There was a bit of a mix-up."
"Oh, well, thanks anyway."
"My pleasure."
The little door slammed shut. The robed figure glared at it for a moment and then splashed further down the street. There was indeed another portal there. The builder hadn't bothered to change the design much. He knocked. The little barred hatch shot back.
"Yes?" "Look,
"The significant owl hoots in the night, all right?"
"Yet many grey lords go sadly to the masterless men. Hooray, hooray for the spinster's sister's daughter, okay? To the axeman, all supplicants are the same height.
Yet verily the rose is within the thorn. It's pissing down out here. You do know that, don't you?"
"Yes," said the voice in the tones of one who indeed does know it, and is not the one standing in it.
The visitor sighed.